So the one thing I remember very well was Louis Armstrong came there and played one of the Sunday nights that we were there, and we were very impressed having Louis play. He had a big band at that time, and he was pretty well known. But then we would go out on Sunday nights, and we were booked out, and we played at one time, I remember, in Detroit at the, oh, beautiful, one of the prettiest, I'd never been in a place like this in my life. One of the prettiest ballrooms I'd ever seen. In fact, when we got there, the house band was playing, and they were so good. we were kind of ashamed to set up because this band really was good. But anyway, we were still billed as the big attraction, and we did. We tried a little harder, I guess, and we went over pretty well. It just came to me. The place we played in Youngstown was the New Elms Ballroom. And the thing that made it so good is the fact that that everybody liked the band so much, and we became buddy-buddy with everybody in the town. So that we got little favors here and there, and were invited to various homes for dinners and things like that. We were able to socialize, and it was good for us in as much as it kept us busy. It kept us in front of the people. It gave us more presence on the bandstand and more things to do. We got little novelty things together, worked out all kinds of fun things. So anyway, that lasted, good gosh, I can't tell you how many months, but quite a while. And then we were booked from there. We were booked into a place in Cleveland called the Trianon, which was a beautiful ball, great big brand new ballroom. And it was a beautiful place with the airtime. There we had about three or four broadcasts a week, which was wonderful. We had a chance to get ourselves heard all across the country. And there we got a little more money, not a lot more, but we did pretty well there. And we lived out on Euclid Avenue, I remember, right near the lake. And we always lived in boarding houses because we couldn't afford hotels. So we did live in nice boarding houses, and we were very, very very pleased with it was the Aragon or the Trianon. Now I'm not sure. It was in Cleveland. It wasn't the Aragon or the Trianon in Chicago. It was the one in Cleveland. So we got better known. Things seemed to go along pretty well. And then we were there quite a long time, and finally, I guess we went out and did some one-nighters. I remember we played Steubenville, which is a town that Dean Martin was from, and we played a lot of little towns around there. Then we came back into Cleveland, and we were staying at the Allerton Hotel. Now, the Allerton Hotel was very nice, at least in those days. We thought it was a nice place. However, we weren't working at the time, and we really didn't have enough money to live on. Well, I've been calling New York about getting something. We had to get out of there, but we couldn't get out because we owed room rent. So I made a deal with in New York with a company to make transcriptions. Now, transcriptions for what they played in the radio stations. They were big, great big discs, and you would go in and make a whole bunch of them. They didn't take the time they did with records. In other words, you just went in and made a lot of transcriptions. So I said, well, when I talked to New York, I said, well, we can't get out of the hotel. We're here and we have no work, but we can't get to New York without some money. So the agency wired us money, and we got out of the hotel and went to New York. with our Cadillac, our Ford, and our Black Mariah. I can remember the day was just like it was yesterday, driving up to the Decca recording studio right in the center of town with our great big dirty Black Mariah and going into the studio. Well, as luck would have it, Tommy Dorsey was recording in the same floor, in fact, the same floor that we were doing our transcriptions. So we did our transcriptions, and we were able to go over and listen to Tommy, and we were so impressed to be there at the same time with Tommy. Well, other things happened. People heard us in New York, and we were at the same time we were doing the transcriptions, I think it was the same day, there was a team that wrote songs by the name of Conn and Chaplin. Now, Conn is the same Sammy Conn that wrote all the big tunes. He's one of the big writers. Anyway, at this particular time, he and his piano player, Sammy was the lyricist and the piano player, they did the songs for us to see. We were going to do a recording date, and the people at the Decca Records had them come in to demonstrate some of the tunes that we possibly may record. And I can see Sammy Conn as well as it was yesterday. He had the hat on with a big safety pin through the front, pinned up like the college kids all wore, and he's doing the lyrics, and Chaplin is doing the piano, and they did a thing called Papa Tree Top Tall, which we recorded, and I forget Swamp Fire, and we did Dance of the Blue Devils, the thing that Les wrote. Anyway, we did four tunes. In several days later, we did this recording session in New York. After listening to the tape, I found I made a lot of mistakes. I can think of one. Wally Rose was married to Annette Hanshaw. He was her manager, and that's why she was the apartment we were there. And I said that we went to Pittsburgh and stayed there to look around for rooms, and actually we went through Pittsburgh to get to Youngstown, because we worked in Youngstown at the ballroom. Another interesting thing I might mention before I forget it, when we did work at Youngstown at the New Orleans Ballroom, the owner was Tony, I'll think of it sometime, but not tonight, Tony, who later, many years later, I became very good friends with, and he booked the band at Youngstown at Idora Park, and he was the manager and part owner then of the very famous ballroom there, and we played it many times during the years that I was with the band. I don't know, just remember, I can't remember just how long we stayed around New York. I know we stayed there a short while. We couldn't afford to stay there long. Lived in cheap hotels, and I guess I don't remember what we did, to tell you the truth. And I know we headed out toward the Pittsburgh area again, and played around Pittsburgh and places like that for a few months. We finally sold the Black Mariah and bought us a truck, a nice truck which I drove, and seemed to be a lot easier to go from place to place. Now, it wasn't too long after that that I finally figured that it was about time that I left the band and got into a day job, a regular job. I hadn't mentioned before, I guess it was during the summer, when we were at Bed Lake, New Jersey, or right after, I became engaged to my friend Francis Beale down in Greensboro, and I thought it was time I should get myself organized so that we could make some plans. So I got a hold of Les, and we sat and talked, and I told him that I hated to do it, and I hated to leave the band, but it's time I move on now. And I finally left and went back to Reading, Pennsylvania. I had a couple of hours. I had enough money to buy a Model A Ford, which I kept for some years. I think it cost me $125. It was a nice car. Dark blue with red wire wheels. Nice little car. So I tried getting a job around Reading, and jobs were tough. It was during the Depression. And I tried the carpenter, steel, places like that, where many of my friends were working, Blidden Company, the paintworks, and whatever. I tried all kinds of things. And I just couldn't seem to get settled with anything. And finally, I made arrangements to meet with a friend of my father's who had a paint store at 9th and Penn, Penn Streets in Reading, and Mr. Brown. And I became, well, actually there were only two employees. I was the assistant manager of a paint store, which consisted of selling paint, stock person, cutting wallpaper, general, all around person. And it wasn't long after that that I went back to playing drums back in my hometown, and I joined the rejoined Jack Heath's band, and we started to play the various country clubs and the places around town. And I worked at the paint company for, gosh, it must have been quite a while. I remember it seemed like an awful long time. I wasn't seeing the beginning anywhere, but I was living at home with my parents. In the meantime, Bill Martin and I decided that we would go down to North Carolina. And I asked my dad to, could I borrow his car, and my sister Doris, she got into the picture some way, and the only way I could get to take it down was to take her along. So Bill Martin and Doris and myself went down to Greensboro and spent a couple days down there. We went over to see Duke University, and I had nothing eventful happen, and we got back into Reading. It wasn't too long after that that I remember I got the Dear John letter from my girlfriend. Seems that her parents had wanted her to marry this young man who was a star athlete and quite a guy around town there in Greensboro, and evidently it worked out. The funny part, I never did get into this, but when I used to go over to Greensboro from Durham to visit my lady friend, being a Yankee, I was not taken in at all by the people in Greensboro. In fact, it seems that the young men who lived around the area where I visited, they were going to beat me up at times. And it never happened, but I heard stories about it. Mr. Beale, Francis's father, never did speak to me. I would go in the house. If he were in the living room, he'd leave. And I never talked to him. Her mother was very nice to me. She seemed to appreciate that I was a kindly young gentleman, and certainly meant well by their daughter, but Mr. Beale never would say hello.